Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Built everything up, and you know, we've come to a place, and now I have to surrender everything that I thought I've done. But even though I said, God, it's your church, and you build the church, and you know, you pray those prayers, and then he said, okay, now give it over. I don't want to give it over. So it was hard for me. We rested. I've got a lot of perspective and healing and deliverance myself. Even though God raised me up in that, I saw a lot of things in my own life that was just wrong, where my way of thinking was wrong. Just the whole, just family. I just see how God's heart is for family. And yesterday I actually changed my sermon. I was going to share with you on how the communist thinking is influenced us. The humanist secular thinking is focusing us to break down moral values. But then God said to me, I must not do that now. I must do that in a different time. But what I've discovered through counseling and what the world is doing, it's wanting to break down families. If it can break down our families, our children are vulnerable. I've seen many people who came for counseling for me, and especially for deliverance, and what I realized with all of them, all of us, we've been hurt when we were children. And it left us open with wounds, and Satan could come in and he could place things in us because we've been wounded when we were children. So I realized if fathers are present in children's lives, and if mothers can give nurture to the children, we will not have broken children when they grow up. They will be confident in who they are in the Lord. They will be strong. They will be walking according to the rules and the commandments of God, and they will be successful in this life, because I really believe that is what God is wanting for all of us. So I believe there's a lot of healing that needs to take place, but it needs to take place in our marriages first. Our marriages must come together. My husband and wife, wives, you must learn to submit. I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. I was so afraid to say it in the past, but I've seen so many ladies, and that's the first place where he takes us out as families. When the wife is not submitting, it releases anger in the husband, and he gets angry, and the wife can't understand it, and she wants more control. And then the children suffer because there's friction in the home all the time. So the children are not comfortable in their homes because there's friction, because the mother can't submit and the dad can't take up the role. They walk away, they stand there somewhere else because they're so tired of the words, they just go and sit somewhere else. And they don't want to take up the role and the responsibility of the leader of the home. So the wives get nervous. So this is things that God has been speaking to me, and it's got nothing to do with my sermon, although I can share two stories. I was in Cedarburg Mountains, where there was not many people. It was quite cool. You wouldn't think it in Cedarburg Mountains. But there was this one little girl. She was about 3-4 years old, but she was screaming. I thought it was a baby on reflux. I don't know if you ever experienced that, but this child was screaming. And then I realized this child throwing a tantrum, but this tantrum was going on for about 18 hours. So it was getting quite intense, and this couple was camping with another couple, and their children were sorted out. You could see they're very disciplined. But this child with the tantrums, her father was just standing there with whiskey in his hand. The whole day, I could see he was not very comfortable with his child, and he was very frustrated. And at some stage, I was doing the dishes, and this mother and the child was there next to me, and this child was screaming, and the mother said, "Stop it!" And the child would, "Stop it!" and higher, and then she said, "If you're not going to stop it right now, I'm going to count to 10. One! Two! Three! And then she took the child and she walked away with her. So that was their 6 days in Cedarburg Mountain of this child just screaming. So I thought, oh man, I wish I could just give her a card and say, just come and do our evergreen course. That someone can help you how to discipline and to grow your child. It's a fantastic course. We are going to present it. Nikki is taking a lead, and the Pritzingers are taking lead in that. We've had fantastic feedback. it really helps you to help your children, to train them. There was another incident. We were at Sundrift, and there was a father with 5 children. One girl, she was about 10 years old. She was the second oldest. The brother was the oldest. He was about 15 years old. But he was on his sister's case. Hy was a traitor. Hy was op haar case the whole time. But it wasn't a nice way. And she retaliated. And then the brother looked at the father saying, "Look what he has done to me." And then the father was on her case saying, "You shouldn't have done that." And she said, "But you're always coming up for him." And the father was putting her down, and the next moment she looked at him saying, "Ach man, F." She didn't say F. Yo. She walked away. And I looked at Lynette and I felt sorry for this girl, because this father, he broke his daughter. She's outside of the ring, as he would learn in this parenting course. I said, what will it take for him to win back his daughter? He will have to go and take her out for a romantic dinner to tell her how much he cares for her, because he's lost that child. She's a rebel right there. He lost her completely. But he's lost her quite a while ago. And he stood there. I think us as parents need help. We need to come together, that we do things together, that we train our children in the ways of God, that they don't go that route and become rebellion as very young. So if you are keen, please come and do that. And then next week, we're going to have an Activate Sunday on the 17th. Heinrich is going to preach. We want to do a small presentation on all the areas of this church that we're involved in. And our vision for this year is building God's house. We're trusting God that we as a church in Shofar come back to the basics of the Christian faith, to be planted in the house of the Lord, to build the house of God where we are planted in, to grow that we can be salt and light to this world. So we want to encourage you to become part of this church, to be part of this church, not to be a spectator, but to say, yes, Lord, I want to be planted here. I want to be discipled here. I want to grow in this house or wherever house then it is that you need to be, but then where you are, and not to float around from church to church to hear the messages that you want to hear, but to be there where God has called you to be, so that you can grow and God can change your character to the man or woman that God has called you to be. Because we have itchy ears, and we want to hear to the messages that's easy on the heart, and it's soft, that we can hear, oh, bless me, I want to be blessed. And then when God comes with the discipline, because He loves those that He disciplines, He calls them sons, then we run away. Say, I don't want to be disciplined. And we want to do something else. We get a new job. We want to just run away because we don't want to go through the pain of having all the stuff surface that God can deal with that. You can see I've been through a learning school with the Lord in the last 3 months. So that Monday, we're going to fast for 3 days. We want to encourage everyone to be part of the fasting. Fast and pray. When you fast, you have to pray. Otherwise, it's called starving. So you get strength by praying. So it's very encouraging. If you just want to pray with us, that is also good. If you can just cut something else, that's also good. If you want to fast, it's a spiritual discipline that is in the Bible that we all should do. Jesus said some of them only go by prayer and fasting. But we never fast. That's why they're not going. So we're giving you the opportunity to fast with us. So that is on the 18th to the 20th. Okay, so when Lynette and I had the opportunity to go to Albert and the Lena Ferreira in Senegal, we flew up to Joburg. We drove down, and I was driving fast, 140 in a 120 speed zone, and we got pulled off. And I'm like, oh. And my wife is, no, please, just. And I said, Lynette, shh. And she said, no, ask them. And then my wife said, please, can we go? We are from the Cape. And this guy said, you mustn't drive so fast, but you can go. So I thought, okay, God is good. Thanks for Lynette. So we went to these people. And when we came there, we were awake from about 4 o'clock that morning. We came there about 2 o'clock, and then we received ministry. And it was amazing for us just to come to a place where They gave us prophetic words. They washed our feet. It's so strange for my feet to be washed. I just cried. She gave me a very, very powerful word about having to die to myself for the seed to come out to be sown. But it's not about me. It's about the seed. And God is breaking you because He wants the seed, because He's after the harvest. It's hard words, but I cried because I knew that was what God is wanting to do. And just to see the heart of what God had for the families. We went on a marriage prep with them in Pretoria again, and we received ministry. But while I'm telling this story, I heard a very good joke, and I want to share it with you this morning. This old man in an old age home, he's a widower. His wife is and he sees this old lady, she's a widow, and he decides he's going to ask her to get married. So he gets all his courage together, and he asks her, I would like to marry you. And she's immediately, yes, yes, I'll marry you. And she's so happy. And he goes to his room with a song in his heart. He's very grateful. This lady asked him, said yes, to get married. So he goes to bed, and he falls asleep, very happy. But the next morning he wakes up and he thinks, oh my word, I know I asked her to get married, but I'm not sure whether she said yes or no. Now he gets the courage to go to her during breakfast to ask her, look, I asked you last night to get married to you, but I can't remember that you say yes or no. And she says, oh, I'm so relieved. I knew I said yes to someone to get married to, but I couldn't remember who it was. John 14, verse 6. Jesus sê, ek is die weg, die waarheid en die lewe. Niemand kom na die Vader toe as deur my nie. Ek is die weg, die waarheid en die lewe. And that's my message this morning. Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. No one goes to the Father except through Him. In John 13, Jesus washed the disciples' feet and He said, we must do the same. And then they say, yes, but there's a few things that happened there. And then Jesus says to them in the beginning of verse, he says to them, you must love, a new commandment I give to you, that you must love one another just as I have loved you. You also ought to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, this has been said a lot. But the disciples was, how are we going to do this? To love one another as you have loved us? Because it's impossible. We cannot love that way. And then Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. He says, believe in God. Believe also in me. We shouldn't worry about this life. We should trust and believe in God. And faith and trusting in God, there's an acting out of what we believe. Believing is not in the heart, it's in how we live it. So I can believe that God is good, but if I speak negative all the time, I'm not living in faith. I can believe God has forgiven my sins, but if I can't forgive someone that has sinned against me, I'm not walking and living in faith. I'm not trusting that what God has given me. So He says, believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And so, God's desire is for us to be with Him. I was reading in Exodus earlier this month and Deuteronomy again. God's desire is for people to be with Him. It's not to have the rules or the word or come to church on Sunday, but it's to have relationship, which means it's surrender completely to Him. For me and Lynette, I realized in my marriage, I can say I'm married, but if I'm not going to be home, if I'm not going to be home in my head, in my heart, with my children living there, it's not going to go well in our marriage. I can be there out there doing things for Jesus, working hard, having an amazing career, but if I'm not at home, it's going to fall apart. And this is what I believe God is saying to us. He wants relationship, but it's a give of surrender to this relationship with God. It's not like read the Bible 1 minute, versie van die dag, and doen 'n skietgebedjie on your way to work and think that is enough, because it's not. It will break down your spiritual life to a point where you'll get hurt and broken because you're not connected to the life of God anymore. Then Jesus says to them, I know, you know where I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, where are you going? How can we know the way? And then Jesus says, me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it's only Jesus. There are many roads that leads, and this world will tell us all roads lead to Rome. Your truth and my truth are different, but if you go on that Allah route, and you go on the Buddhist route, and you go on the Islam route, and you go on the, oh, I've repeated that now, but you go on the Hindu route, it all goes to the same destination. And there's truth in it, because it all comes to the judgment seat of Jesus. But the only road in is through the door, and that's Jesus Christ. And he's exclusive of any all other routes, because he said, I am the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And it's only through him that we can go into him. He's the only God that has died for our sins. All the others spoke and gave direction and made walls and wrote books. Jesus never even wrote a book. I think he wrote in the sand, but someone probably walked over that, or the wind took away the words that he has written. But his words are still changing lives even right now. He's the only one who has died for our sins. But the good news is, all the other gods died. It's only Jesus that got resurrected. And he got ascended into heaven with people seeing how he got ascended. People who are outside of the Bible wrote about him, like Josephus. He wrote about him and he said he went up. He did many miracles. He was a man of God. But the question is, do we believe he's the Son of God? Do we believe that Jesus is God? Because he said, I am the way. So if we believe that he is God, we have to make a decision for ourselves. Am I going to believe what man is saying? Or am I going to believe what he is saying? So I'm just going to fall in there. Evolution. Do we believe we are created by a big explosion? And then this explosion caused things to come together. And then they were apes. And these apes evolved and we came to be. Or do we believe that we are created in the image of God? Because there's a, if we believe we are apes, we're going to act like apes. We're going to be like apes. We're going to be the fittest of this world. But if we believe God is the creator, or then we can say, but he used millions of years to create the heavens and the earth. But then death entered before Eve sinned, and that could not have been, because then we doubt the word of God, and we will doubt all the words that God has said. So he is saying to me, us, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Do we believe what God is saying to us? Do we believe the truth that God is saying? Because he's saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Because this way, and I just want to have a look at the way quickly. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me in this road, this way, if you want to come after me, we must deny ourselves. We must pick up our cross and we can follow him. Deny me. And the secular humanists want to tell us it's human rights. There's a human rights day. And the feminists will tell you the woman's right is more important to have a good life than to carry a baby that she doesn't want so she can abort it, she can kill it. That's what human rights are telling us. But God is saying, differently. He's saying that I am life. I change things. We must deny ourselves that we can live for God, and then we can follow Him. Deny myself, pick up our cross, and follow Him. So this is hard words, because in churches what we say is just close your eyes, all of you, just close your eyes. If you feel you want to give your heart to the Lord, just put up your finger. And if you have put up your finger, maybe you can come forward, or you can just pray a sinner's prayer there, and you'll be saved. And then they go and they drink and they party and they live together and they do all the things that they want to do because that's what they feel. But this is not what the Word is saying. The Word is saying we must deny ourselves, we must pick up our cross, and we must follow God. Then Matthew 7 says, enter by the narrow gate. This is hard words, but I believe this is really what we must understand, that following God, denying ourselves, is not going to be easy. And we shouldn't lie to one another saying, it's easy. It's maklik nie. Gee net jou hart vir Jesus en alles is oor, en jy sal geblest wees, en die Here wil hê jy moet baie, baie geld maak nie. Want dis sy hart vir ons nie. Enter the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. A love for the world is a wide road. If we love this world more than what we love God, the road is easy, but it leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. Because there will come times when they will say to you, you must stand down. I said, but no, it's about me. It's not about me. I've done all these things. I said, no, you must stand down. Why? No, I don't understand. But I want to understand. Stand down. That's all that you hear. You must stand down. Because it's hard. Because God wants to change character. He doesn't want to bless us as much as He wants to build our character, that we can become who Jesus is, that we can represent Jesus on this earth. The way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. It's scriptures that we don't share. We don't want to share it because people get upset and they say, I'm not going to go to that church because the words are too hard. Now, this man goes to a doctor and he says to him, I don't feel well. And the doctor looks at him, says, let's do some tests. And he do all the tests. Ek nou baie lelike grap hier, maar ek gaan dit nie vertel nie, want dan gaan ek in die moeilikheid wees by my vrou. Maar ek dink jy ken hom. And so they do all the tests. And they come back, MRI and x-rays, and they take blood, and they take urine, and they take all the tests that that a poor man can go through. And he says, I'm sorry to tell you, but you've got cancer. And I predict you're going to live for 6 months. And this man says, no, I need a second opinion. So he goes to a different doctor, and that doctor says, you know, some doctors are just so negative. Just be positive. We just speak positive over you. You know, I've got this nice diet that you can follow. If you follow this diet, you'll never get sick. Are you a believer? Just pray to Jesus. He will help you and you will be fine. And he prays for him. 6 months later, this guy is vomiting. He goes to that first doctor and the doctor said, you know, when you came to me 6 months ago, we could have helped you. But now it's too late. Sometimes we need to hear the medicine. We need to take the medicine if we want to be whole. But we resist the medicine because we want to hear the good things, but we just get more sick and sick as society. The whole world has designed our society to get destroyed so that they can get to our children. The Word says, if I love God, I will do His commandments, but we don't want to hear those things. But now we have children who are rebels, and that rebel child, when they throw a tantrum, will sleep around when they are 16 years old. They will kill and murder because they've never learned discipline. Because there was not a father disciplining the child because they love them. So for us as Christians, we have to start living whole lives. We have to start living holy lives as God is holy. Because we are representing to this world the answer. But if we sleep around, we live together, we do all the sins that the world is doing, we can never be the answer to this world. This is why I believe the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide is so broken. It's because we have not heard the medicine. We don't want to take the medicine. We just want to hear the good stuff. Okay, so that is my tough bit for this morning. How do we do this? Because now the thing is that we're going to want to do is I want to do things. And it's impossible. You cannot not sin. You cannot not drink. If you're smoking, you cannot stop smoking. It's impossible. If you drink, you cannot stop drinking. If you love, if alcohol is a problem for you, you cannot stop it. You can try, but 4 days later you fall. All those New Year's resolutions, you fall. We cannot do it. If you are in pornography, you cannot stop it. You can try. If you are into prostitutes and no one knows about it, you can try and stop it, but that pull is just too hard. It's only faith that can release us. It's only Jesus Christ. It's only when we come to Him, when He releases us, that we can really be free. So Jesus says, come to Me. Don't try to do works to earn salvation. We earn salvation by faith. In that place of faith, surrendering to God, He starts breaking down the urge and desire to want to sin. You cannot pray and sin in the same time. Sometimes you do, and then you just repent, say, God, sorry, I've sinned right now. Please forgive me. And that's how God starts with the work to cleanse us from the heart. Because it's not about stopping sin, it's about changing our hearts. And in that place, it's difficult. And it is difficult, especially when you're trying to do it in your own strength. So we walk by faith and not by sight. We believe the words, the promises of what God is saying. We walk in obedience to who God is. So I spoke a little bit about evolution. Do we believe the word of God? Or do we believe what man has said? I want to ask you, do you know of anyone who have lived in this earth 1 million years ago? Neither do I. So there's no source to tell us. There's no books that we can go and read about anything that happened more than 4,000 years ago. And the only references we had, therefore, is the Bible. All the other things that has written has been after that. So whose word are we going to take? Some scientists, because there are many scientists who believe that God created the world in 6 days. We just don't hear of them. Or are we going to believe, and there are two scientists right there, and they will confirm what I'm saying now. Two people with doctor's degrees, and they will confirm what I'm saying now to you, that God created the heavens and the earth. But just on that note, this boy comes to his father. He said, Dad, where did we come from? He said, millions of years ago, we were apes, and we evolved to become men now. So he goes to his mom, and he says, Mom, where did we come from? She said, God created the heavens and the earth, and created Adam and Eve, and that's where we came from. He said, but Dad said we evolved from apes. He says, yes, but he's talking about his side of the family, and I'm talking about my side of the family. So what are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the word, or are we going to believe what God is saying to us? I just want to put it out there this morning. Homosexuality and homosexual sin, homosexual sex is sin. Marriage is sin. The Bible says so. But so is divorce. So is sleeping, having sex with a person that you're not married to. Having sex with an animal is sin. It will destroy you. It will bring you under the yoke of Satan. There's many sad stories that we hear of people who are caught in sin. Jesus is the only answer. We have to help people to come into the presence of who God is. Abortion, drunkenness is sin. Islam is not a way to God. It's not. Our world is getting infiltrated with witchcraft, Harry Potter, and all these things are breaking down civilization. Horror movies, all those things are destroying our faith in God. So those things sounds offended, because is God an exclusive? Is He going to exclusive that part, and He's just going to be bringing in this part? And we don't want to hear those stories. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And what I've realized is, truth is, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. But what Satan wants to do is, he wants to distort, break down truth, that we can believe a lie, that he can have us in captivity, that he can have us as slaves. because his ultimate desire is to have all people as slaves that can control us in a one world order. And that is what he is setting us up to do. So I've come to a point where I've read this book. I don't want to show it to anyone I've read it with because I want to give it back to Louis. But this book, Genoeg, it's an economist, Arno van Niekerk, that really speaks amazing about where we are in South Africa, and no one wants to speak what we are challenging again here. And it's not us and Shofar only, but the Church of Jesus in the Western world are going through breakdown. We are breaking down completely because of the influences that Satan is setting up against us, to destroy us, to separate us, to divide the church, because he knows it's the only thing that he must destroy for him to take over this world. And the next verse that I want to give to you, and you're probably going to say, no, I'm not offended, but what is keeping us away from knowing and walking in truth is that, and then many will be offended. And I'm sparkling with myself. I'm repenting. Yesterday, I was just on the floor in front of God, offense. And I want to encourage you, open your heart to what I'm saying here, because you might say right now, I don't have offense. But I want to say to you, I think yes, you might, there's a possibility that all of us might deal with offense here. Because in the end times, many will be offended. Many people will be offended. They will betray one another and they will hate one another. And what happens is when a believer breaks down trust with us and we get offended with that believer, we feel betrayed. We feel, how could they have done it? How could the pastor have done that? He's supposed to be a pastor. And we get offended and we want to separate ourselves and we build a wall around us that no one can see and hear me, because I don't want to be hurt again. Because if I'm going to be hurt again, I cannot take it. Because I love Jesus, but I don't like the people in the church much. So I start doing this. I start, and then when it gets too much for us, then we say, no, I'm not going to be to this church, I'm going to go to that church. Then we start hopping to different churches, and the way that we leave a church will determine how you're going to enter the next church, and then you're going to, and then people become, they hop to different churches because of offense. And all of us struggle with this. I'm telling you, there's many times I wanted to just resign. There's people I wanted to phone. I want a job. And then, but God hasn't spoken to me. He didn't say to me, you must go. He says to me nothing. So if I leave now, I'm leaving in offense. We are being set up here for division in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's wanting to destroy the only wall. The gates of hell will come against the church, but it will not prevail. But it will not prevail. Are we standing again together to come against the onslaught that Satan is bringing to us? Because he's coming to destroy, betray, hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise and they will deceive many. Out of hurt, out of pain, people start getting itchy ears and they want to hear, bless me, bless me. Just give me that bless me message, because I don't want to be hurt again. I just came from a church that preached the law. I don't want to hear that anymore. So that we become, and then they start new gospels or new truths that they come out with, and it takes the truth away. Because the Bible warns us against false prophets the whole time. Why? Because it wants to destroy truth. Because it's a truth that will set us free. Jesus loves you. I want to say that he loves you, but it's the truth that sets us free. I've done so much deliverance in the last while. The two things that I struggled the most with was not Freemason demons and Satanism. Those things are lightweight. Fear, unbelief. You struggle because people feel that's who I am. So you struggle to get that. All the sex stuff and all those things, when people repent, is in the name of Jesus, out. Then I said, hey. But those things, they believe it's who they are. So they struggle. They struggle with this. So the fight is for our minds. Is to get our minds to distrust God. That's what the fight is for. Because then we don't trust in God anymore. Because God has placed all leadership over us. Including Jacob Zuma. Zuma must fall. I don't believe us as Christians can be part of it. I believe we must pray for him. We must pray for this government. Because he says if we come in rebellion against him, it opens a door for a spirit of rebellion to come in and take over the new guy that comes in into power. I don't know if anyone wants to agree with me, but I really believe it's a time that we should pray for God. I just want to read to you something that, oh, then lawlessness. Where is it? And then lawlessness will abound. I can't do what I will do. Stop. My heart. Yeah. I get new often I brought it. I can't do lawlessness. We want to do our own thing. I can't feel a license. And then the love of many will grow cold. You know what it says? We still love those who love me. So I love Brad because he's good to me. My yes and not betray him. My, I love Johan. My peaceful. My love has grown cold to him. Because I got offended with him. See what happens. But God says we must love our enemies. We must love those that hate us. If we're being put against the wall and they shoot the guy next to you, we must say, brother, I love you and I God forgive him for what he's about to do. That's the gospel. That's the truth. But he, and many will grow cold because of that. Don't come to church anymore. I'll come once a month, once every 2 months, and then I'll just fall away. Don't go to Saul anymore. I'm not hungry for God anymore. But that he who endures to the end will be saved. Just want to quickly read what John Bevere says in his book, The Bait of Satan. Please get that book. I'm reading it through it now, and it's really amazing for my own spiritual growth. Offended people produce much fruit, such as hurt, anger, outrage, jealousy, resentment, strife, bitterness, hatred, and envy. Some of the consequences of picking up offense are insults, attacks, wounding, division, separation, broken relationship, betrayal, and backsliding. Then he says many are unable to function properly in their calling because of the wounds and hurts that offenses has caused in their lives. They are handicapped and hindered from fulfilling their full potential. The hurt come many time from fellow believers, and this causes the offense to feel like betrayal. And then he says, selfishness reigns in our society. We look to ourselves first. We believe we are the only one who have been wronged, and this leaves us open for a root of bitterness. Then if we do not deal with offense, it will produce more fruit of sin, such as bitterness, anger, and resentment. This will open us up to deception. He's written this book 15 years ago. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Offense causes us to construct walls to safeguard our hearts. We start to exclude people who could possibly hurt us. Our love grows cold. And then he says, false prophets are self-centered people with bad fruits. We be aware of deception. People who are hearers of the word and not doers. Because knowledge puffs up, but the Spirit gives life. And I've done it now. I use Scripture to defend my offense. It's easy to do it, especially when you know Scripture. You can just use it. But when the Spirit comes, it brings life. So there's that place where God is wanting us to purify. So, and he says, then God will put us through trials to test and to purify our faith. But we resist God's work. En toe ek in die Vrystaat was, het Albert vir my gesê, geen bees kan sit sy kop in 'n klem dat jy hom kan inspuit nie. Jy jaag hom in 'n kraal in, en dan druk jy hom deur 'n drukgang. En as hy in daai drukgang is, dan sit jy 'n klem om sy kop. Dan kan jy sy vinger in sy neus druk en jy kan hom lei waartoe jy wil. Of jy hom op die trok sit en of jy hom inspuiting gee en of jy hom brand, dat hy kan weet wie sy bees dit is. Goed, jaag ons in 'n kraal in. Dan sit hy vir ons in 'n drukgang in. Dis nie lekker nie. Maar dan doen hy daai werk, dat ons koon kan wees voor hom. And then, Dalena said, it's like giving birth. When that baby goes through the birth channel, the child is going through the most pain, but so is the mother. But then the child doesn't want to be born because of the pain, and they resist the pain and they want to go back. You know what happens? The baby dies. Must go out. It's hard stuff. And then there's a new cycle that has to start all again, all from the beginning. But that birth channel, when the pain is, where the baby gets born, we all must go through pain, through birth, so that God can grow us to that place where He wants to take us. Jesus says, if you, in John 8, verse 31, if we abide in my word, abide means reading, living, meditating, being in the word of God. It's not 1 minute, 2 seconds, kry 'n versie op jou foon nie. It's living the word of God. You are truly my disciples. You will know the truth and it will set you free. And he says in verse 34, if you practice sin, you are a slave to sin. So, but if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. That's why God wants to bring truth, that He can set us free, that we don't struggle with sin anymore, that we are set free by Him. But I just want to say this morning, Jesus is the answer. He says, I am, in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives in me shall never die. And then Jesus is asking us, do we believe this? And I want to ask all of us, do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That life is in Jesus. Do we live our lives to seek Him because He's the answer with everything we have? Do we live lives that we have completely surrendered to Him? Say, Lord, let Your will reign in my life. Nie mense regte nie, nie my regte nie, but let Your will reign in my life, Lord. Because that place, God takes the broken, the dead, the outcast, and He resurrects, and He makes a new man in Christ. And that is beautiful, when a broken man who has been changed by God can stand before God. And you can know there's no offense, there's no, yes, there's struggles, there's scars, but that man who is broken, dependent on God, because he has come to that point where he has surrendered completely to live for Jesus Christ, to live for, according to the word of God, to live to that place that God has called us to be. And then the last scripture that I want to share is in John 5, says, you search the scriptures, but you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Jesus is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, but He's not contained here. He's everywhere, because He's God. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's omniscient, omnipresent. He's eternal. He's God. And He communicates to us through His Spirit. And we must treasure to know the Spirit of God. Because it's the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of God is, there's freedom. It's the Spirit of God that breaks down all these things. It's the Spirit of God that leads us according to the Word of God that He is giving to us. So I want to encourage you as well, when we come to church, don't come, and to cell group, don't come to receive. Come to worship God, to come into the presence of God. When we come and we say, is there anyone with words, we normally just go and sit because we think it's not time to receive, but it's actually not time to pray. The Word says, my house will be a house of prayer for all the nations. We cannot survive as a church on a prayer that I pray for 30 seconds. We actually must come to the place where the church is praying for hours together. Because the onslaught is there. If we want to stand against what Satan is bringing, we must come to a place where we pray and pray spirit-filled prayers. Where we can be filled with what God is wanting to do. Because in that place, I really believe God is going to release powerful miracles, healings, set people free from stuff that has held them down for many years, even what they've inherited. But as a church, we must make a decision to really seek God, to really seek Jesus through the Holy Spirit, to really seek Him in that place that we can have life and life in abundance. Amen. So I'm going to ask you I want to do an altar call. I want to give people the opportunity who have not surrendered to Jesus Christ. If I can maybe just have the worship people to come forward, and I'm going to ask everyone to stand up, and I want to ask you to pray. And we ask God to change in us that what you maybe heard the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning, to say, God, we want to become salt and light, but we want to become people who pray, people who know the word, people who live according to the world, people who have been set free, who have been separated onto the works of God. God says, you are called as a holy priesthood, a royal nation, to all the nations in Peter. I'm misquoting it a little bit, but he says, you are priests, you are living stones that I want to build my kingdom with. Each one of you are special. You're a gem, and this kingdom is built by all these special stones that I'm putting together. And he's got all the plans, he's got the blueprint, he's got the building project is ready to go. We're just now waiting for the stones. The cement is the Holy Spirit. He wants to bring us together, but there's something in our hearts that must say, yes, God, I want to surrender. I want to give to you, to your kingdom. I want to surrender to you. But the place where we start is by surrendering to Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, have you been born again? If you are not born again, I want to invite you to come forward. So I want to ask you, when did you get born again? Do you have a date? If you don't have a date, come get a date. It's the 10th of January, 2016. If you don't have a date, you don't know when you've been born again, you can make it today by saying, God, I respond. I come to you. I surrender my life. I repent of sin. I know I cannot stop sinning, but I hear from this guy in the front that you can help me to stop sinning, because I don't want to live like this anymore. Is there anyone here this morning who have backslidden? They want to return to Jesus. They want to make a public declaration to God saying, God, I'm coming back to you, who have never done it before. Is there anyone here this morning that want to respond? Is there anyone? The four things that I've learned in doing deliverance ministry. The first one is, we must be honest. Where am I? What is taking me out? What is destroying my life? What is the things that is hurting me? The second thing is, we must humble ourselves. God resists the proud. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And the third thing is, we must repent of our sins. And then when we've repented, we must accept His forgiveness and say, thank you, Lord, I'm forgiven. And the fourth thing is, we must forgive those who have hurt us. John 20, verse 23 says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. So this morning, I want to ask you if there are things that you believe that you must come before God. And maybe this is offense. It's hurt, it's unforgiveness, it's bitterness, it's all those things that what the Holy Spirit was sharing this morning, you can identify with. But you want to respond to that. I want to ask you to come forward, that we can pray before God, that He will come in and heal us of that offense, that sore, that hurt. And just a word that I want to share is, if we're not going to deal with it, the result of sin is death. It will kill us spiritually if we don't respond to the pain and the hurt. And I want to ask you, if someone hurt you deliberately, And if someone hurt you, or you just thought that person hurt you, of which one of the two do you have to repent? Do we ever have legal right or a right to keep offense in our hearts? Or is offense sin? Because in both cases, Jesus says, forgive, as I have forgiven. So I just want to ask you to close your eyes, and if there's anyone else who want to respond, I just want to keep the platform open as we just sing a song to the Lord. And if you don't feel you need to respond, I want to ask you to pray. Can we please pray for God? We just pray that we see God, let your will be done in our lives, Lord. That His name be glorified in this place, that people will have a hunger and a thirst to lead others to Christ again. That we can see the church growing and people's lives being transformed because the body of Christ works together to reach out, to bring people from darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Because He is marvelous. He's amazing. You know, every time I just thought this morning when I did deliverance and that person starts manifesting and they show me the signs and they want to scratch out my eyes, and I think, I never want to do this again. I'll never do this again. This is the last one that I'm going to do. But then every time when Jesus comes into that situation, that person gets set free, I'm just crying because of the goodness of God. Because that is who He is. When He enters, He changes. And He transforms, because He is the resurrection and the life. He is God. He is truth. And do you want to respond to that this morning? And this is the invitation that I want to give to you, that God can just do that work of healing in your heart. This is not for me. This is for you, that you can walk in the fullness of what God has called you for. Father, I want to praise You. I want to thank You for every person, God, who are obedient to Your voice, Lord. God, I want to thank You, as with me, Lord. We've been hurt, Lord. We've been broken, Lord God. But Father, just as David, God, was persecuted by his leader because he wanted to install that thing to be dependent on You, Lord. I just realize, God, that You allow all these things to happen because You are testing us, You are growing us, You are taking us to a different place because You want the best for us, because You are a good God in every way, Lord. And God, this morning, we trust You, Lord. We trust You with our lives, Lord. We trust You with our finances. We trust You with our families, with our marriages, Lord. We trust You with our children, Lord. We trust You in our careers, Lord. We trust You with everything that we have, Lord, because we want to live for You. We want to be salt. We want to be light, Lord. We want to be that what You have called us to be, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, God, that as a church we become, God, that house of prayer to all the nations, Lord. Father, we pray for Your fire, Lord, to come, Lord, to purify us, Lord, to make us whole and holy, because You are a holy God, Lord. Father, we pray that You will remove deception amongst us, Lord. And Father, when broken and the hurt comes, Lord, that You will heal them, Lord. That we will not look at one another, Lord God, but we will look at You, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, forgive us, Lord, for hurting one another, Lord. Forgive us for not walking in the light, Lord. And bless this church, Lord, in Jesus' name.